this morning, as I was searching the Lord, I heard Matthew, so I want you to take the Bibles and go to Matthew. And we're going to be at chapter 23. And we're going to actually be starting with the closing verse. And Lord, I just ask that you would just release your grace and your fire onto this word so that it becomes a living word. And that we will be able to see what you want done and understand the magnitude of your word. Now, in verse 39, it says, I declare to you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed, magnified and worshipped, adored and exalted, be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, that's the Amplified. Jesus is making a declaration about the literal body of Christ. The body of Christ is going to be used to bring Jerusalem to a different place. And they're going to have a choice about accepting the believer. Now, there's many things that are going on right now in preparation work in the body of Christ. And one of the things I believe that the Lord is doing is trying to get us to a different mindset. We sometimes have a tendency to believe that if we were at a different space or a different place in our walk with him, that it would be greater, it would be better, it would be this, it would be that, and the accuser's on our case. We don't always recognize him as the accuser. But that he's pushing buttons to make us maybe make changes either ahead of schedule or later than we should. But the bottom line is, Jesus was actually in a conversation of great depth in this particular chapter. And I'd like to take you to verse 37, where he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, murdering the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often I have gathered your children together as a mother fowl gathers her brood under her wings, and you refused. You refused. Why? Why did they refuse him? Anybody got a clue why they refused him? Unbelief, but there was a reason for the unbelief. Fear. Yeah, they were going to lose their position if they accepted him. Pride, because they enjoyed self-worship, and that's made evident in the earlier verses. They also enjoyed their position of authority. They really believed falsely, because my brother pointed out unbelief, they also believed that they were right and he was wrong. Because they had studied and he had not. They had gone to the great schools and the great schoolmasters, and they had no evidence of him being taught. So how could he know what he knows if he wasn't taught? It's a little scary. It's a little scary because the pattern is similar in the church. If you look at some of the visible people in the church, when I'm talking about visible, I'm talking about what Jerusalem would look at. Okay? Jerusalem would look at all the hierarchy of the different denominations, okay? And I'm not picking on them now, don't. It's not an angry thing. I want you to see what has happened. We don't have the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the others that were there at that time. But we have a new breed with new titles doing the same thing under the same anointing. Okay? And when Jerusalem right now and its officials and its hierarchy is looking at the visible church that they see, do they see the brokenness of the body ready to serve like you and I do? I'm talking about the body of Christ. Do they see the broken parts of the body of Christ ready to serve one another like I do and like you do? No, they don't. They get a little tiny glimpse, periodically, of different individuals that are giving of themselves in order for Israel to survive. Now, in the past couple of years, they actually have a Pentecostal type of person that has been actually accepted to be a part and to be a, like a prayer person in the Knesset. Now, that's pretty intense. Up until now, they did not have that. Now, there are several ministries that are represented in Israel, but several of those ministries are low-key because God has not allowed them to be explosive right now. But that doesn't mean they won't be exploding down the road. You know what I mean? Right now, we're in a training period. We're learning. We're learning about each other. We're learning to care for one another. We're learning about the basics of the things that God is trying to invest in us so that we can be prepared to hand it out to the next generation. What are you doing? How many people are being fed by you? I mean, everyone has a different number. Everyone has a different value system of themselves and how dedicated they are. But as a church, we can say that we are sending a blessing periodically to a ministry in Tel Aviv that actually does work in Jerusalem as well. So there is a flow of our love going in. There is a piece of our substance that goes into that downtown area and takes care of the poor. Now, if I was to go to the mayor of Springfield and say to him, well, what is the most important ministry of the Christian denominations in your area, he would probably give me some titles of some big names that in the newspapers would be quite popular. But in the heart of the Lord, Jesus would probably say, you know what? That men's mission is doing more for me than many of the others. Why? Because they're training up some men to come back to life so that they can become men and women of God's Word and families that are based in God's Word, and yet it's a little tiny ministry over 100 years old that's been doing a work for the Lord and for the gospel, for the good news to the broken people of the city. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And Jesus was doing the exact same thing. Why was he sent to Gennesaret to take care of a demonic person? I mean, of all places, would you send them there? No. Logically, you'd say, let them die. They're naked and running around the tombstones. Let them die. They're already dead. But God had a plan for that broken vessel. And he sent his son across that Galilean sea to go and get that man delivered. What is he doing with you? I could tell you what he's doing with Darlene back there. He's feeding Barbara. But you understand, what are we doing? We're doing a work that is underground at the moment. Okay? The body of Christ is doing a work with this woman in Florida. through my sister. Okay? Do you comprehend? Okay? I've got another lady over here in the corporate structure giving out words. Giving out words. You say, well, what does that have to do? What was I doing with a couple of teenagers this morning? Just pouring love into them. And they were melting. How about the man that works at the senior center and constantly encourages? What is he doing? Now, to the average folks, he's not a popular person. But to those that have a need, and if they have a need for prayer, where do you think they go? Yeah. I know. Do you understand? Maria gave me a testimony about a person that's living in her building, right? This morning, named Marcus. And God's going to do something for that man. Because this woman gave words of life. And I'm not talking about the office places and all the other places where God is seen working through people. Okay? So, again, I declare to you, you will not see me again. That's an incredible statement. Until you say, blessed and exalted be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Who is he talking about? He's talking about those that are going to come in his name. He's talking about the body of Christ that's going to be so full of the anointing, so full of life and love, that it's going to shatter their opinion of religiosity. Because all they see is how backbiting they are, one to the other. How they're perfect and everyone else needs to be like them. Let's back it up now. Verse 25. Well, 24. I debated about those two, so let's go to 24. You blind guide, filtering out a gnat and gulping down a camel. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you clean out, you clean the outside of the cup of the planters, but within they are full of extortion, prey, spoil, plunder, and grasping self-indulgence. Ugly. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, so that the outside may be clean also. Meaning your own heart has to be changed. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you are like tombs that have been whitewashed, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything impure. Boy, do you think you would love to hear Jesus talk to you like that? Well, if you had an attitude like they did, you'd deserve it. Why was he so harsh on them? If you compare that to the woman at the well who's had five husbands, how did he treat these two people differently? Because one is stuck, and she's having a hard time, and she's definitely cried out to God, because she was another one that God sent his son on a trip to go and set her free. Why? Because she had value to God. These guys had no value. They only had value to themselves. They were self-serving. Verse 28. Just so you also outwardly seem to be people to be just and upright, but inside you are full of pretense and lawlessness and iniquity. So he's exposing their nature. What is their nature? Impure, lawless, and full of pretense. They are false. And he's not afraid to tell them to their faces. Why do you think they crucified him? They couldn't stand his guts because he exposed their nakedness. He exposed what they were. Woe to you, verse 29. Scribes and Pharisees and pretenders, hypocrites, for you build tombs for the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, now listen, he's exposing again. Verse 30. If we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have aided them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Now, they are lifting themselves up. They're saying, boy, if we had lived in that day, we would not have killed all these prophets that were stoned. We wouldn't have never done that, because after all, we would have seen. And here he was, the light of the world, and they're as blind as bats and can't tell. Yes or no? Verse 31. Thus you are testifying against yourself, that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Uh-oh. He's letting them know you're like your dads. Now I'm going to take a chance. How many of you in your past life have seen a glimpse of your fathers and mothers inside of you? Yeah. And I got one that's shaking the head, but it doesn't seem to be a good thing. How many saw the ugly? Okay. Now, do you think it was any different for them when he was telling them the truth? I mean, they must have been pierced to the very bone of the inside. You understand where I'm coming from? I mean, when a truth comes and hits me, I mean, whoa. I have a wake-up call. I can either choose to make a change. Now, there's many times that I've said this kind of prayer. Lord, that was an absolute truth. But I haven't got an ounce of energy to change it. Nor the desires to do so. So could you do something? Would you please put a fire inside of me to burn out the old and put in what you need? Who can impart to you the gift you need? Who can impress you with the grace you need? Who can fill you with love and compassion and mercy but the Most High? Nobody else can do it. And they didn't want God. They wanted to use God for their own advantage, to build themselves up, to make themselves look good. And it has not changed. It has not changed. I happened to catch a young man ministering this morning on, I didn't even know what channel it was on. And I was blessed. I was blessed for two things. I was blessed because he wasn't fake. I was blessed because he was being himself. I was blessed because normally I see a seduction routine that I did not see in this young man. And God willing, I'm going to go to his website and check out. Because I'm nosy. Why? Because he was different. He had a reality to him. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I'm not trying to be against some of these people, but you understand they're deceptive. And you can tell the deception if you are discerning of spirits. Okay? Jesus was discerning their spirits. He was letting them know where their father was. He told them outright, your father's the devil. He didn't like, you know, hey, cut it to the chase. Okay. Verse 32, fill up the measure of your father's sins to the brim so that nothing may be wanting to a full measure. What he was actually saying here is there's a lifting of the level of the impure to a certain level, and then judgment calls. Judgment falls. When you look at all of what happened in Israel, over the number of years that was being prepared for the Messiah to come, the deceivers had come to a level where now they were actually visible. The darkness was right there, right on top. You couldn't miss it. Okay? I can tell you right now that in churchianity, you've got some areas that it's filling to the cup. It's getting close to the top. And what is God going to do? He's going to let them be what? Exposed. He's done it before. He can do it again. He's not afraid to humble them. And he's not afraid to strip off that false front any more than he was afraid then. Watch 33, because it's really deep. I wouldn't like these words to me. You serpents, you spawn of vipers, how can you escape the penalty to be suffered in hell? Can you agree that it's an ouch? Serpents, vipers, how can you escape the penalty to be suffered in hell? Because of this, take notice, I am sending you prophets. Notice it's an S on prophets. And wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill. Even crucify. Some you will flog in your synagogues. And pursue and persecute from town to town. Did it happen? Is it happening now? Yes. It hasn't changed. It is the same pattern under the same garbage, doing the exact same thing, and God still not falling off his throne. Amen? 35. So that upon your heads may come all the blood of the righteous, those who correspond to the divine standard of right, shed on earth from the blood of the righteous, Abel, to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, who you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I declare to you, all these evil calamity times will come upon this generation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, murdering the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a mother fowl gathers her brood under her wings, but you refused. Behold, the house is forsaken and desolate, abandoned and left destitute. I declare to you, you will not see me again until, say until, the real body of believers rises in authority and in the power of the Holy Ghost and in the love and the compassion and the righteousness of Christ. So it's up to us. See, if you get a picture that I'm hoping that this is going to portray of your responsibility to let Jesus become who he is inside of us and to manifest through us, then the melting that was going on to those two kids today will go on and on and on until the fullness of Christ is established in this next generation, and it will blossom deeper and greater. And yes, by all means, if I should go home to be with the Lord, don't stop. Keep feeding. This is not Kim's church. This is the Lord's church. It has nothing to do with me. It has a lot to do and everything to do with Christ in you, the hope of glory. It has everything with you as members of the body of Christ to hold together and keep on going no matter what. It has everything to do with your obedience to obey him and to speak the word in that season where he calls you forth to give out for those in need. That's all I got. But do you understand? If you understand, then God has done what I believe he wanted to do. If you understand. So just lift your hands to him. Say, Lord Jesus, today, don't stop manifesting through me. Pour love out of my heart to those in need. Pour compassion and mercy to those who have a need that you connect me to in the days ahead, weeks ahead, and even this very day. In Jesus' name, I pray.